set it there. I'll get it. I'm going to ask you to make your way to your seats so we can go ahead and get started, please. Well, I'm waiting for you, Bono. A couple quick things I want to go over before we jump into service. Number one is that we need to keep Amy in your prayers. If you guys know Amy and Buddy, Amy is in the hospital. She's been having some issues. She went in Monday of last week. We need to be praying for her and asking the Lord to do a healing in her body because she needs it right now. She's at the Cleveland Clinic in downtown Cleveland. And so just keep Buddy and Amy and the family in your prayers. Also, for those that know Karen and Cheryl are, Karen sat over here. Cheryl was her daughter. Cheryl had back surgery right after the 4th of July and it went really, really badly. There is some problems with the hospital and doctors and all this other stuff. So she's ended up having actually 3 surgeries, and she has a 4th one to go to correct some of the issues that happened in the first surgery. And so if you'd keep her in your prayers as well, too. Karen Ledford is her last name. And so, I'm sorry, Cheryl. Roe is her daughter. Karen is the mom. And so just keep them in your prayers as well, please. And then, which brings me to a really good point. Bonnie brought this out. Come on up, Bonnie. We want to just officially make the announcement that we do have a prayer team here at Passion Community Church, and it's been just a wonderful time of meeting together. And so we just want to kind of, Bonnie has a few things she wants to say, and then I'll finish up with a few things, so go ahead.
Okay, so we have a small, there's like 5 of us, and we meet once a week, Tuesdays, 1 week, Wednesdays, the next, and we're in prayer for so many things. And I mean, you can put it on the prayer, on the church website or wherever like that, but I also want you to know, we see you guys. Most of you, maybe once a week, if we're lucky. Let's try to be bold and come for prayer because we need it. We need that throughout the week. And we have a handful of people here that really love you guys. And we care about what you're going through. So, like on Sundays, we can meet, be over at the side. If anybody wants to come for any kind of prayer, you don't have to tell us what it is. But let's be that family that can really help each other and love each other and lift each other up. We're here for that. So let us do that if we can. We'd love to. And it's whatever you would tell us, that's where it goes. Those 5 people, that's it. We don't share nobody's business with nobody.
What time do you meet on Tuesdays and Wednesdays? 8:30.
Okay.
8:30,
right? 8:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that here?
No, it is not. We meet at 2 different homes. Let me finish up to what Bonnie was saying. A couple things. Anything else you want to say, Bonnie?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Couple quick things. One is we have purposefully started with a smaller prayer team just because we wanted to establish our prayer team. In the coming weeks, we will be looking at expanding that and also having events where we'll have an open prayer night here at church. This particular prayer team, what we want to make sure that you all understand is that there's people inside the church that are praying every single day for you and for the church. And so there is a group of us, Chad and Bonnie and Diane and Miss Tanya and myself. We've been meeting on a weekly basis, and we lift you all up in your prayer, in our prayers, and are doing that on a regular basis. It's just an awesome thing. And I want to let you know that we will be doing more corporate-led prayer events as well. But we are here to pray for you guys. There is that team established there. So if you'd like to pray, we would love to do that. If you are interested in being on the prayer team, please let me know. This isn't an open invitation to anyone that wants to be on the team. I will tell you, and the reason why is because we want to make sure that your heart is in the right place and yet your commitment's in the right place. Sometimes we get committed to a ministry and it lasts for maybe a week or two and then people disappear. And we want to make sure that this is, we specifically find this to be one of the backbones of our ministry here at Passion Community Church. And we want to make sure that this remains and that we have a good team of dedicated people who are going to be doing that. So not to say that we're not open to other people joining us, because we are not. Or we are.
We are.
Sorry.
So stay away.
Yeah, stay away. We don't want any of you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, no. I was going to do a double negative. We are not. That doesn't work. We are for joining and having other people. It's just that we want to make sure if you're going to do that and you're interested in the Lord's calling you in that area, that's wonderful. But I want to meet with you and have a conversation with you just to express that before we, before it's an open invitation. So, okay. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. We have been working all summer long on this title called Signs, and thank you, Paul. And we are going to continue today, but we spent the last 3 weeks talking about the seven churches of Revelations and the letter to the churches that Jesus wrote. Which brings us to today's sermon, and today's sermon is the first sermon that we'll be doing a couple on this about the rapture. And I want to spend today talking to you about what the rapture is, what's going to happen. We're not going to jump into the timing issue just yet. We will get into that in the coming week, next week actually, because there is a lot of discussion about when the rapture is going to happen, right? When someone talks about the rapture, the very first thing they say is, when's it going to happen? Amongst church theologians, there's a lot of discussion that generally happens about, is the rapture going to happen here, or is it going to happen here, or is it going to happen here? Is it already happening? Footnote, it's not, just to let you know. But there is a section of believers that believe that the rapture is a long-held, stretched-out thing, and every day that someone comes to know the Lord is one of those days. That's not what we align to, and I will not be spending any more time than what I just said on that subject, so on that side of it. We get lost, though, in this idea about when it will happen that we forget that it will happen. We get so caught up. See, it amazes me how we as Christians get so caught up in this minuscule events and things that we forget the bigger picture. Sometimes we get so caught up in the weeds that we forget that we're in the middle of the forest, or get so caught up in the trees that we forget that we're in the middle of the forest. And this beautiful thing is right before us. You know, I compare this to my trip, and I know I've mentioned this a few times, but there's this moment in time, you know, we spent a day and a half at the Grand Canyon, more than that, but after about a day and a half at the Grand Canyon, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? Every picture is starting to look exactly the same. And that first belief, when I first went there, you look out and you're like, catches your breath. You're about ready. My wife was crying. I'm like emotionally moved and seeing this beauty. And then after a day and a half, you start looking at it going, it's still the canyon. It still looks the same, right? And I had to remind myself, I had to stop and say, wait a minute, we're at the Grand Canyon, right? Because otherwise, you would take advantage of just this simple thing, or you would begin to look at it as a simple thing. It's not. It's something amazing that God has created. I think what happens is that in the church, we talk about the rapture so often, or the idea of the rapture so often, that we forget about the grand event that's actually going to happen. It doesn't matter the timing as much as it matters that it will happen. I know some of you will say, yeah, it matters a lot because the timing says whether we're going to have to live through tribulation, a portion of tribulation, or all of tribulation, right? There's three timing issues there that we talk about, and we'll dive into those next week. But what I want to do today is I want to just make sure that we have a full understanding of exactly what is going to happen. Before we jump into it, though, I want to remind you that I feel like I have to give this little caveat. It doesn't matter the past point, Doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are or where what you're going through today. The truth of the matter is whether, and you don't, it doesn't matter whether you believe the rapture is going to happen before tribulation, in the middle of tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. What matters most is, are you prepared for the rapture? That's what matters most. And so this caveat that I give to you today is that as we walk through these and we start talking about these things the next 2 weeks, what I want to remind you of is that there's only one way to survive the rapture in the way that you want to survive the rapture. And that's a life and a faith dedicated to Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not living in that way, it's all black and white. There's no gray area here. There's no level of, I can squeak in here. No, there's no squeaking in here. You're either going to be, if you're still alive when Jesus comes back, we're either going to be raised with him or we're going to be left here. As the movie said many years ago, the left behind, right? No one wants to be left behind. Let me tell you that, right? And so regardless of if the timing's at the beginning and you're left behind, that's bad news. If the timing's in the middle and you're left behind, that's bad news. If the timing's at the end and you're left behind, that's really bad news. Yeah, that's worse news. But there is this idea that we must never forget that the rapture is a moment in time when the Lord is going to call all of his believers home with him. It will begin and it will end with Jesus reigning as he comes down from the clouds to call us all home, to meet him up in this air and in the air and have this wonderful reunion of sorts with him. I want to encourage you today that all of these timing issues that we talked about, we'll get into those, but even some of the specific details don't ultimately matter. Again, what matters most is that our life is with Jesus. We can argue the finer points of Scripture. We can argue the finer points of when it's going to happen. We can argue all of those things. And those are good discussions to have. Iron sharpens iron. Those are good discussions to have with each other. And we will explore that. But what I want to remind you today, at the base of this sermon, is that you are positioned in the right place for rapture. When you leave here today, I want there to be no doubt in any one of your minds that you are either prepared or not prepared for what is to come. Because let's be honest, God doesn't want a lukewarm Christian. He wants you either hot or cold. If you're hot, you know exactly where you're supposed to be. This is last week's sermon, by the way. But if we're cold, then we know what we have to do to become hot. So we have to be somewhere in between. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much that you have promised that you are coming back to us, that you're going to come back and call us home, where we will meet you in the air, and it'll be this wonderful event called the rapture today. Lord Jesus, we can't wait for that day. It is in your timing, as Jay so eloquently put earlier today. We don't even dare to try to guess when it is. We can read the signs. We can see the seasons that we're in, but we don't know the hour or the place or the time or the day that you're coming back. But we do know the place, but we don't know the time or the day that you're coming back, Lord Jesus. And so we just ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us here in this place. Help us to know your will for our lives today. Help us to know our standing, Father. More than anything else, help us to know that we are not lukewarm. We're either hot or cold, that we know what we must do. If we're hot, we must live continuously burning and fanning that flame inside of us. If we're cold, we need to learn to grow hot, Father. So help us to do that, Lord Jesus. Help us not to be asleep. Yes, it's been a long time that this has been promised that you are returning, but Father, it seems like we are just even another hour, another minute, another day, so much closer to this event. And so we're looking for you, Father, to come into our hearts, to guide us and lead us on this journey that we're on. Help us to understand these scriptures today. Holy Spirit, come and guide us, strengthen us to understand where we're at, and help us to know that we are prepared or not prepared for where we need to be and what we need to do. It's by your guidance and leading, Holy Spirit, that we can even begin to think we could journey our ideas and mind into that place where you'd want us to be. Help us today. I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, and that you would give us that wisdom that we need to understand all of these things that you are speaking to us. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, I love what is being said and what is being spoken here. There's wonderful things. There's so much here that we have to talk about. I'm going to start, though, with understanding and talking about this, what Paul calls the mystery, if you will. The mystery is the rapture. That's what he's really talking about. Do you know that the word rapture does not show up in your Bible today? There's nowhere in your Bible you will read the words rapture. I don't even care if you read the correct version that Pastor Chaz says, or you read the ESV, the wrong version that he says I read. It doesn't matter. I'm kidding. We have this long-standing discussion, friendly banter, I should call it, back and forth. I don't care what translation you read, except, well, I do care, but there are, with ESV, NIV, King James, New King James, the one that you read is the right one to read. Now, there are some that I would like, I'd stay away from that one if I was you, but that's a different discussion. The word rapture is not in there. So, but before you start freaking out, because some people say, when I say that, the word rapture, well, then how can we talk about the rapture? How can we use the word the rapture? How can we say all these things? Can I remind you that the word Trinity doesn't actually show up in Scripture either? The idea is there, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the word is something that we ascribe to that. There are also these other words such as mission and those types of things that is also not found in Scripture. But we understand those. So this word rapture really comes from the Latin word rapio, which means being caught up. When Paul talks about this, he says that there's going to be this amazing event. For he says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring those who have fallen asleep. We'll get there in a moment. For those that would declare to you by the word of the Lord that alive who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command. And then he goes on and says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the air. Now, a couple other things that stand out to me when I read this verse is that Paul, uses often, he says, then we, he uses the word we. He doesn't say I, he doesn't say you, he says we. And so you have to understand when Paul is writing this, Paul is actually thinking when he's writing this that he's going to be alive when the rapture happens. That's why he uses these words, we. This is why he says, I'm going to be caught up, and he's going to go through all these things. Language matters when someone's writing that letter, by the way. So you have to understand that when Paul uses those words, his understanding is that he's going to be alive. But the mystery that Paul is talking about is also because in the Old Testament, there is nowhere in the Old Testament you will find anything about this caught up, this rapture, if you will. The idea of rapture, the second coming of Jesus is definitely there, but this idea of rapture isn't brought on until we get to the New Testament. But there's a couple things that we have to understand. First of all, Paul is speaking about the rapture, and then there's also the second coming. I want to share this with you just so you understand that there are many theologians that believe that the second coming of Christ and the rapture are two separate events. that Jesus is going to not fully descend from heaven, but he's going to be in heaven and he's going to call us up as a rapture. We're going to meet up with him. We're going to go into heaven. And then at a later time, Jesus is going to come down and he's going to conquer the earth. There are some that believe that that's going to be in, Jesus is going to come partially down, call us up, say, hey guys, have fun up in heaven. I'm going down to do business, right? And there, so there are many different theologian beliefs there that deal with this. I'm not going to tell you which one is the right one or which one I think. I'm going to ask you to read scripture and you can figure that out. Again, these details, whether they are the first coming, the second coming, whether there's two comings, it doesn't matter. I believe that this is one event where Jesus comes down. It's my belief. But again, a lot of this leads to timing and where you're at in timing and those types of things. But we find that regardless of timing, regardless of whether you think it's the first coming, the second coming, there is going to be this caught up in the air. This mystery that happens that Paul talks about. But it's interesting that Paul talks about, even before he talks about this, he talks about this the dead in Christ shall rise. So let's jump over there for a moment. He says in the beginning, verse 13, brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And so there's a couple beliefs there too. I want to explain this, because as we're reading this verse, you have to understand this. This is part of the rapture. Something before we get to meet Jesus in the air, before we are caught up there, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And so when you read that, the very first thing you think is, well, if my loved one just died, my father died 3 years ago, he was a follower in Christ, is he just kind of like hanging out? No, we don't believe in purgatory. We believe that when you die, when you take your last breath here, if you're a Christian, you're with God when you die. You're before the Lord. And so what does that mean? When we read this verse, does it mean that for sense that somehow there's going to be a rising? You do know that when you pass away from this earth, your mortal body that's here is laid to rest here. When you pass from this earth, you take your last breath, you go into heaven, you are given a heavenly body, Scripture tells us. Paul talks about this heavenly body that's given to us. And so how a lot of theologians explain this is that when this calling, this rapture happens, those that were dead in Christ before will receive their heavenly bodies. And it will be the heavenly bodies that meet us. Now, I know maybe you're not like me, but the very first thing I read is, well, what if I am cremated? What happens? Well, the ashes come up. Have you ever watched Avengers? You know what happens when that? No, I'm kidding. That's not close to it, but maybe it is. I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because your earthly body that you're in today, thank God, is going to be buried and it will no longer be. You will all have to worry about your shoulder, Sarah. You'll no longer have to worry about your knee, Jay. You'll no longer have to worry about your foot, Christy. And I could go on and on and on. Man, we got a lot of injuries in our church. But you don't have to worry about those things, because we're given a heavenly body. And so the answer here is that the dead in Christ. Now, there's also this other interesting thing. Those that have died in Christ, what happens to the people that died before Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that for a moment? What happens? See, I believe partly what Paul is talking about here is those that have died during Jesus Christ's reign or before, until the dead in Christ will rise. And they will get a chance to be interacting with Jesus, to choose Jesus as their personal Savior. That's a simple answer to a very complex theological discussion that we could have. But there is this event that's going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to rise. This trumpet is going to sound. The Lord is going to cry out with a command. And then we, too, are going to rise to meet him. Now, I don't know how many of you have watched the Left Behind series or watched the Left Behind movie. And one of the very striking things is that in a blinking of the eye, the clothes hit the ground and all of a sudden you're there, right? And I remember watching the Left Behind series and thinking, you know, they had the planes crashing and the cars hitting each other and all of these things because there is this event. Paul makes it very, very clear that this isn't going to be a quiet event. This isn't going to be something that you're going to be like, oh my goodness, look, did people get raptured or did they not get raptured? No, you're going to know beyond of a shadow of a doubt what's happening. In fact, it says, let's read the scripture real quick. It's better to hear from Paul than from me. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Do you know what a cry of command is? I don't want to scream it right now, but it is a battle cry. It's a cry. When you're out on the battlefield and the cannons are blasting and the guns are going and you're yelling out, charge! Right? That's a battle cry. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, or if you've been in, the closest thing I can relate it to is you're in the middle of the Cleveland Indians, Guardians, and you're watching a baseball game, and all of a sudden on the screen they go, charge, and everyone in the whole entire crowd yells it, right? This cry of command will be heard around the world. It won't be something that's localized. It won't be something that only us here in Ravenna, Richtown, Ohio get to hear. No, it'll be around the world. It'll be a cry that you will hear. And then this trumpet is going to sound. The sound of the trumpet of God. I can only believe that the creator of all music instruments, the creator of all things, knows how to create a trumpet that will blare out around the world. It won't be a surprising event. It won't be something that you don't hear. You will hear it beyond any doubt. We're going to look at these. There's a few things I really want to look at. Number one is that Jesus calls us home. The greatest homecoming that has or will ever happen is going to happen during the rapture. Do you understand that? Jesus makes it very clear, Paul makes it very clear that when Jesus comes down and calls us home, there's going to be this reunion, if you will, a homecoming of people in heaven. Of us coming, we're going to get to, for the very first time, do you understand? For the very first time with our own eyes, we are going to see Jesus. We're also going to see the angels. We're going to see this beautiful event. That's what the rapture is all about. The rapture is this bringing us back home. This earth that we're in now is not our home. Do you understand that? We don't live in this place. Well, we do, but we don't. We live our home. We are aliens walking through a foreign land. That's what this earth was supposed to be. A time for us to come to know the Lord. A time for us to worship him. A time for us to be here. But this isn't our home. Our home is in heaven. Where there is no sin, there is no pain, there is no suffering. It's a beautiful place. It's where God himself resides and we will be in his presence always. That's where we were created to be. And so what happens during rapture is that we're going to be called home. This is going to be this homecoming. It is promised that all of these things will happen in a blinking of the eye. One day you'll be doing normal activities and then boom, you'll be called home to be with Jesus. One of the biggest things that we often hear about is that we don't know the time or the day, and that's true, and it's going to happen like a thief in the night, Jesus says. It's going to happen so quickly, we don't know the time, we don't know the place, we don't know those things, but it's going to happen. When you plan a family reunion, you plan for months, sometimes years. You plan on where it's going to be, who's going to be there, how we're going to get there, what food's going to be served. That's the most important part. Right? But here, you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is plan to be with Jesus. That's the only planning that you need to do to be part of this. It's going to be the greatest homecoming ever. Number two, we find that it's a joyous moment. Why? Can I ask you a question? You and I, no one else is watching at home online, so don't have to worry about it. Why are Christians so darn angry and sad about everything? Why do they take some of the most joyous moments and they make them scary and ugly and something that we fret or fear? You know, I was raised, and the reason why I say this is because I was raised in a Baptist church where they made the rapture this really scary thing. Nothing against Baptist church. I love where I gave my life to Christ. The church is no longer in existence, but where I gave my life to Christ was wonderful. It's no problem with that. But one of the things that they did was they made the rapture this scary moment. You better be ready or you're going to die and go to hell. Well, there's truth to that. There's absolute truth to that. But the rapture is not something scary. The rapture is a beautiful moment in time. We have to remove all of the scariness of this and understand that this is a moment that's going to be the most joyous moment you've ever experienced in your whole entire life. There's nothing greater. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about one of the greatest moments of my life was when my wife and I got married. Another greatest moment in my life was when my daughter was born. Another one was when my granddaughter and my grandson, all of those born. Those are wonderful events. But this is going to pale in comparison to what happens this day when we experience rapture. The rapture is not scary. In fact, this will be the most wonderful moment, again, that we have ever experienced. You will have this time of understanding in this meeting together, and your faith will be rewarded. Some of you might be here today and you're thinking, man, I've been a Christian for so long. I've been trudging through the mud. I've been trying to do my best. You know what? This is the day when we look out and we go, no, 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 you should accept Jesus. No, that's not what I'm saying. But this is when your faith will be rewarded, when your decision to follow Christ is going to be rubbed in all those other people's faces that didn't. And they will come up with some reason why. And they will try to say, it'll be something. They'll say, oh, everyone had COVID and died. It'll be something else. Yeah, aliens got us and called us home. That's right. But the truth of the matter is, this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about what rapture is going to be like? Oftentimes people, I think, you know, we see movies, we see things, and we try to explain this, you know, understanding of this transfiguration, if you will, of ourselves from earthly to heavenly. We don't know what it's going to be like. I can't sit here and even begin to tell you that it's going to be like this and exactly what it's going to go through. All I know is in one moment we'll be grounded by gravity, and the next moment we'll be in heaven with Jesus. And gravity will have no pull on us. We won't be stuck to this earth. If I jump off this ledge, I'll probably break my leg. Because why? Because gravity's going to pull me down. That day it won't matter. Because we're going to be going up to him. Jesus is so powerful that he overcomes all laws of nature. Do you understand that? When he comes down to pull us, he puts to rest everything. Because he is the most important thing that has ever happened to us. And he can overcome all things as a creator. And so what will happen is that we will have this understanding of coming to be with him. We'll be leaving this world bewildered and searching for answers. We'll be leaving this world behind of all the falsehood, all of the angerness, all the sadness, all of the doubts, all of these things will be gone and will no longer be there. We'll be aligned with Jesus in the most wonderful way. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 describes a sequence of events that are decidedly loud and visible. Again, I want to get back to this. This isn't going to be a quiet event. It's going to be very loud. It's going to be very understandable. You're going to know exactly. The people of this world who are left behind will not be able to deny what just happened. Because this is sign, and the reason why is this is the greatest sign, by the way. When we talk about signs, you want to know the signs of the end time? When the rapture happens, that is the sign. If there is the sign, that is the sign. And so what is going on is that there is this markedly loud event that's going to happen. The archangel is going to cry out. The trumpet's going to call. All of these things are going to happen, and it's going to be in this most divine fanfare that's ever happened before. And people who are not Christians are going to be looking up going, I've made a big mistake. I should have followed Jesus. And there will be this time of sadness here on this earth as we are enjoying what's going on. Similarly, Matthew 24, verses 30 through 31 speaks of the return of Christ with great power and glory. The passage describes of a celestial disturbances, the signs in the sky. It goes on to say that these dramatic descriptions of what's going to happen in the sky imply a public event, one that would be witnessed by all, believers and non-believers alike. And the imagery is not a sorcery, but very important, undeniable, glorious revelation of who Jesus Christ is. There'll be no doubt in people's mind that Jesus was real. Today, when you go and you speak to someone about Jesus and you tell them that Jesus is real, he's made a difference in my life, he's made a difference in your life, hopefully, and you talk about these things, people could sometimes get that glassy stare that a lot of you guys have, that you're looking like you're going to fall asleep right now. But the truth of the matter is that they will not be able to deny this. The interpretations aligns with other biblical passages that depict the end times as a period of great and visible upheaval. We have been talking about this upheaval that's been going on. We think that we're in upheaval right now. You just wait. The Olympics and their whole whatever they did will have nothing on what Jesus does when he comes down. There'll be no question about which side you're on. And that's the most important thing I have to tell you today. This is not the time. Rapture is not the moment in time to go, wait, I want to make a decision to follow Christ. It's too late. When Jesus comes down and that cry of command from the archangel is sent out, it's too late. You no longer have that choice. You no longer have that ability to say, I want to make sure I'm in the right place. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. I had this weird event a few months ago, and I was sitting there thinking, and we were watching our granddaughter, and I said, "Man, it popped in my mind. When we have kids again someday, I want to do that differently." And I'm like, "Wait, what did I just say? I'm not going to ever have kids again." And then I realized, wait, there's certain events in our life that we never get to do again. Do you understand that? Age has a way of making you aware of those things, by the way. And experiences in life. But this is one of these events that when it happens, never again for eternity. And oh, by the way, let's take just a real quick jog into eternity for a moment. Every one of us here has lived on this earth for a few years, some of us more than others. We measure our life by the years that we've lived. There's an ending, or there's a beginning, and someday there will be an ending. There's not an ending and then a beginning. That doesn't work. But there is that. Eternity is forever. There is no beginning and end to eternity. It's just there. And someday, when we are met up in heaven, in the clouds with Jesus, we will begin our eternity where we're supposed to be. So my question to you is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for what is to come? Are you prepared for what is about to happen? Because we need to. And what I want to run through is just a couple real quick things that we need to be prepared for. Number one is that we must cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing that you can do. To be ready for rapture means that you have to be having you have to cultivate a relationship with him. Jesus isn't just going to come down and go, "Oh, Chad, you're a good person, so guess what? Come on board. No, sorry, it doesn't work that way. Chad knows that, by the way, and that's why I use him as an example. The truth of the matter is that your relationship with Jesus Christ has to be cultivated into something that makes it that accepts who Jesus is, who accepts what he did on the cross for you. Our answer, our ticket to ride, if you will, wonderful game, by the way, if you never played Ticket to Ride, is a great game. You should get it and play it. It's fun. But our ticket to ride is Jesus Christ. He's the one that says, "Here you go. Here's your entrance into the rapture. Here's your entrance into heaven." And the only way we get that is by cultivating and engaging in a heartfelt conversation with God. Praying to ask him into our heart. Staying spiritually alert. Studying your scriptures. Understanding what Jesus says. And looking to deepen your faith as you live with him. Number two is that we live a life of obedience. It's not just simply accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I've said this before. I will continue to say this. Salvation is more than just a prayer. It is a way of life. Turn it away. I am so proud of all of those that went and got baptized last week, that we had a chance. And Pastor Chad baptized me after we baptized all of you, too. So he dunked me. That's what he did. But the truth of the matter is, I'm so proud of each and every one of you. Why? Because this is part of living a life of obedience. Following Jesus, doing what he did, but being obedient to him. Even in the time when it's so hard to be obedient, we are called to be obedient. I believe that we live in a time right now that one of the most difficult things to do is be obedient to the word of God. Why? Because everyone around us is against that. Everything around us in this world is calling you to stray away from that. But those who live a life of obedience to the word of God will be rewarded not only at rapture, but also in this life here. Do you understand that? Your life of obedience here on this earth is going to be blessed. It's not something, our life of obedience isn't just to say, oh, so I go to heaven. That's great. But our life of obedience is more than that. When you live a life of obedience, you live with Christ here on this earth now, and he blesses that life of obedience. The more obedient you are to him, the more he's going to bless you here on this earth. Number three, stay vigilant and watchful. We've talked about this before. We'll continue to talk about this, but watching for the signs and the times, remaining spiritually awake. I brought up Paul earlier because Paul uses the word we and we will be caught up in heaven, all of these things. Paul thought 2,000 some odd years ago that he would be caught up with Jesus in the rapture. It didn't happen. And so now today, here we are in the year 2024, almost said 2023, but 2024, here we are. Jesus still hasn't returned. One of the hardest things that we can do is we can sometimes it's hard to stay vigilant and watchful. A few years ago, my wife and I had our chicken coop attacked by raccoons. They literally came and took 6 chickens away and ate them, and it was crazy. So the next night, we took turns being vigilant and watchful over the chicken coop, and we stood out there and I said, "It's going to have to be an all night watch." And so I was out there. I look like the Bonanza group. Who was it that we were talking about Thursday night or Thursday morning? Bonanza, you know. I was out there with my shotgun laying in my chair, you know, sitting there going, "Come on, raccoons, I got you." They never came when I was there. They did come when my wife was watching. We spent half the, we split up the night. I fell asleep. My wife came and woke me up. She said, "Has the raccoons come?" I'm like, no, they didn't come. She goes, "How do you know you're asleep?" And I'm like, "I would have heard that." She's like, "Yeah, right. You're lucky you didn't blow your head off because her hand was on the gun too." I went to bed, and the next thing I hear is my wife screaming outside, They're here! I run outside to see my wife with a pitchfork going after a raccoon. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I tell that story because being vigilant and watchful is very difficult to do because we get tired. We start to fall asleep. We start to allow our faith to wander, our minds to wander. Our eyes grow heavy. We begin to think about other things. We begin to think about, oh, Jesus isn't coming back anytime soon. It's been 2,000 years. The truth of the matter is that we must stay spiritually awake. Jesus cautioned his followers to be vigilant and ready for his return at any moment. Mark 13 says that. He says to them, "Be ready." He shares a parable of the marriage parable where the bridesmaids were on the outside waiting to get in, and he tells them, "Make sure that your lamps are trimmed and burning." Not just trimmed. Why do you trim and burn? You trim and burn a lamp because you want to make sure that the wick is not growing old and the flame is growing. No, he wants it to be bright and burning bright. I could go on and on and on. One of the hardest things that we must do is stay vigilant and watchful. We must have discernment. Develop spiritual discernment to recognize false teachings and stay true to the gospel. When someone tells you they know the time, walk away from them or tell them they're crazy. When someone tells you, "Oh, Jesus isn't coming back anytime soon," you can remind them that no, He's coming back very soon. We don't know the hour of the day, but he's coming back very soon. But it goes beyond that. Can I remind you that spiritual discernment also reflects back into us too? You can have spiritual discernment for other people, that's great. But do you have spiritual discernment on yourself? Can you turn it into yourself and say, am I alert? Am I awake? Am I spiritually growing? The hardest thing to do is, it's really easy to be discerning towards another person. It's much harder to be discerning towards yourself. But may I caution you that we must, part of our staying vigilant and watchful is being discerning ourselves and where we're at. Number four, engage in Christian community. Fellowship with believers. Regularly gather with other Christians for worship, encouragement, mutual edification. We need this. Listen, we need, when you begin to fall asleep, you need to be with the other community members. You need to be with other believers that remind us that the time is coming soon. So do that. Serve others. Actively participate with us in our outreaches and the things that we do here at the church. Participate it. Those are, all of these things help you to maintain a hopeful and expectant attitude, which is number five. It's easy to lose sight that Christ is going to return. It's easily to lose sight on maintaining this hopeful and expectant attitude. Sometimes we get disappointed in the world around us, but we must maintain that. Finally, we need to pursue a holiness and righteousness. Again, that is that internal discernment, if you will. Seek to live a holy life set apart for God's purpose. Holiness is essential for those who wait for Christ's return. 1 Peter tells us this. Moral integrity. Uphold moral and ethical standards in all areas of your life. Righteous living is a testament to your faith and readiness. One of those things that I often say about moral integrity is that it comes out in the fruit that you produce. If you're producing fruit, that means you're doing. Why do all of these matter? These matter because this is how we prepare for the rapture that's coming. If you're working on these areas of your life as Christians, we'll be ready for the rapture to come. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and will you stand with me, please? The rapture is coming. Can I dispel any rumors, any doubts in your mind right now that one day we are going to be called home? I don't know the hour or the place, and so some of us in this room may meet the Lord sooner than others. Truth of the matter is that we might walk out that door and the Lord may return today. We don't know that hour or that place. All we know is that it's going to happen. It's coming. He's coming. And I'm not talking about Santa Claus, right? Miss Tanya would have loved that. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is coming back again. Why? How can I be so sure about that? Because he has never once broken a promise or lied. Never once. He couldn't. If he does, then he's not the just God. He's not the true God. He's not the creator. He's not the sinless God. He's not the sinless Savior that we call him and that we know that he is. And so when he says he's returning, guess what that means? He's returning. It's his timing. It's not ours. Lord, I wish you'd return now. I really do. I love my life. I love living with my grandkids, all those things. But man, what a beautiful day that'll be in heaven with him. As a young child, I used to think, man, Lord, can you tarry to come back until I have kids, until I get married, until I have all... The older I get, the more I'm like, God, I don't need to experience anything else. I just want to experience you. All of those things are true. Jesus is the best of them all, though. And one day, at that time, when that trumpet sounds and that loud cry of command comes forward, and the dead in Christ rise up, and all of us who are left here, who are Christians, who are still alive at that point, are raised up to meet him. What a glorious event that will be. what would be the most saddest day is if someone came to church their whole life, who read the Bible but never had a true relationship with Jesus Christ, who found themselves lacking in that area. And Jesus comes back and you're left behind going, why did you miss out on what happened to me? Hi. Listen, as joyous as that day is going to be, being left behind is going to be the saddest day of anyone's life. And so today, in all of these things, and everything that we talked about, the most important thing that you can do right here, right now, is to secure your relationship with Jesus Christ. To say, He is the most important thing in my life. Nothing else is going to come in between me and Him. I'm going to live in obedience to His life. I'm going to pursue holiness and righteousness. I'm going to seek Him in all things. I'm going to have discernment on others, but also discernment on myself. I'm going to be truthful with myself and say, this is where I'm at. See, Jesus wants us to have a true relationship with Him, so that when He does come back, it'll be a joyous day for us. As we, in a moment, we're going to pray. And what I want to ask you to do is just, please, I don't want to beg you, I don't want to plead with you, but I am begging and pleading with you, that you look inside your heart and say, am I in the place where I need to be? That day, is there, you know, my old Baptist preacher used to say, if there's anything that would stop you from that day coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, today's the day to deal with it. I used to make fun of him back then. Now I look at it and say, that was the most wisest thing he could ever say to anyone. And so I ask you that same question. If Jesus comes back at this very moment, are you ready? Are you in the right place? Is your heart in the right place? Will He find you lacking, or will He find you full of faith? There is no in between. There is really no gray area. It's either you have Christ or you don't. Your fruit, your life, the things that you do will tell you whether you have Christ or not. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you to secure your place in Him. We do this by just simply repeating what Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe inside our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then we too can have everlasting eternal life with Him. But as I have said, salvation is more than just a prayer. It's a decision that you make inside your heart. To turn away from the way that you have been. To not fall to the temptation to always be the way that you have been. And to change. May I encourage you today, whether you're here in this room or you are watching at home online, that you would get right with God. You get right with Jesus. Make sure your heart's in the right place. That's the only reason, the only thing that can tell us whether we'll be with Him or we'll be left behind. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done, all that You are doing, just how wonderful You are. Lord Jesus, You are the greatest and almighty God, and there's just nothing that compares to You. You have promised that You will return, and we long for that day, Lord Jesus. We know that one day You will call us home and we will meet You in the air, whether that's when we take our last breath here and our days on this earth end and our days in heaven begin, or whether we're alive in the days of rapture and we find ourselves meeting You up in the air. What a joyous, glorious day that will be, Father. I'm praying today, Lord, that You examine our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Help us to examine our hearts, have discernment for ourselves on where we're actually at, the steps that need to be taken to get us closer to You. guide us and direct us on that. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here in this room that has never given their life to Christ, or someone at home has never given their life to Christ, may today be that day where they turn to you and say, I confess with my mouth my sins. I confess that I am lacking. I confess that I am failing. I confess that I'm not where I need to be. But you are the answer to all of those things. So forgive me as I turn away from those sins, as I turn away from those failings, and I walk towards you. Guide me and strengthen me. And prepare me for that wonderful, joyous occasion that will happen when we meet you in the sky. We love you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, for all of us in this room, help us to be prepared to be found not wanting, but be found full of faith and love for you, Jesus, as you return to call us home. We look forward to that day. Lead us and guide us in all that you and all that we do and say. May it be an honor and a reflection and a glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
I can only imagine what it'd be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak? Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or am I going to be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you.
The song always gets me right there because many of you don't know this, but the day my father passed away, when I left the hospital, I got in my car and I turned on my radio and this song was playing. And I just I actually had to pull off the side of the road and just bawl my eyes out for a while because I was thinking of my father. He had just passed, literally just passed. And the song was on. It was just an amazing event. But oh, what glory it will be to be reunited with them that have gone before in this amazing event that we have called rapture here. But really what it is a homecoming to be at home with Jesus. A great reunion in the sky where we are reunited not only with the loved ones and the angels and all of these things, but most importantly, with Jesus himself. What a day that will be. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift you high and mighty because you deserve that and so much more. We do look forward to that day. Father, I know there are many with heavy hearts, a lot of things going on in the world around us here today, a lot of surgeries that are going on and all of these things. But Father, help us to stay focused on you. Help us not to lose sight. What a wonderful day that will be when we are reunited with you in heaven. We look forward to that day. Help us in all that we do and say as we glorify you, Father. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen and amen. Remember, before you run out, just do me one favor. Number one is share with someone around you as you're walking out the door just how wonderful that day is going to be, what you're looking forward to most. And then the second thing is just remember to always look forward to that day. Don't let it be a negative event. It's going to be a glorious day as we go forth. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.